This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A few weeks ago, it was, I believe, after Salatul Fajr, I had talked about the importance of teaching our kids some few important aspects of life. And today, inshallah, I want to continue that same thing. And once again, the reason why I talk about these things is that this is me as an imam. When I see these kind of issues in the community, it is important that it's part of my job and my responsibility. First of all, to the community, and number two is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to educate the community. Because I learned from the greatest imam ever to come was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the best imam. And subhanAllah, when I study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing we find very consistently is that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear about something going on in the community, when people would come to him and inform him about something that is affecting people in the community, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not sit idle. He would rather get up and he would address the entire community, because that is the responsibility of a leader. So today, inshallah, quickly, I want to go through a few important things that we have to teach our children. I've given some lectures about this. We can even learn many things from the story of Luqman al-Hakim, how he addressed his son and what he taught his son. But these are a few things today, inshallah, I want to quickly cover. First of all is, when it comes to our parenting, and especially many of us here, we grew up overseas, we were raised overseas. And when many parents over here, when you were, you know, in your early 20s, perhaps, you came here to America, you worked hard, you created a living for yourself, you probably went back overseas to get married, or you got married over here, we had children over here, and so forth. But what happened was that when we had children, we understand the environment that we live in. And hence, what many parents they did was, they created a bubble around their kids. In the name of protecting their kids, they created a bubble. And they kept their children in this bubble. And what that bubble did was, that it completely disconnected them from the entire society. This is why, subhanAllah, you find many families that they have absolutely no social etiquettes. Their kids have no social etiquettes. You know, one thing is, I've also talked about this before too. One is Islamic mannerisms. Jazakumullah khair, assalamu alaikum, you know, alhamdulillah. You know, you say there are some certain etiquettes and adab Islamically that we abide by. But socially also, there are some etiquettes that we generally don't abide by. The simple fact that you want to move around someone, the simple rule is you say, excuse me. You know, there are a lot of Muslim kids who don't even know how to speak in public. They cannot even raise their voices in public. They don't understand yes sir, yes ma'am. They don't understand I apologize. They don't understand even when someone sneezes. The general rule is, what do you say? Bless you. But they're sitting there and the person is looking at them, that they will say bless you, and they have no idea what to say. So what happens is that we keep our kids in a bubble. Now, there's another aspect of that bubble, and that is that we try to keep our kids away from everything in society. Why? Because these things are calling our kids to things that are not considered right. Now, here's the point where we have to keep in mind. We have to create a balance when it comes to our kids. It's not easy, but we have to create a balance. See, if you keep your kids away from the phone, first of all, I'm a strong believer in the fact that you don't give your kids a phone at a very young age. Because what you're doing is you're putting the entire world in their hands. And while it comes with the good, it comes with its fair share of wrong and evil too. So what you're doing is you are giving your kids that ability to see and do whatever they want online. I'm not a strong believer in that, but many parents, they give their kids phones. But then there are some parents who say no phones at all to the age of 18 and so forth. Once again, there has to be a balance somewhere. Or there are some, you know, when I was growing up as a kid also, this was something very well known overseas, you know, because there are not many ulama and scholars growing up here in America. So there was a lot of imams that were imported from overseas. And when they were imported from overseas, they brought their own baggage and their own fatwa and so forth. I remember growing up as a kid, this was a common sentence. Okay, it was in Urdu, TV haram. Okay, you get it. Okay, this was something common. Okay, now, is exactly the TV, is it haram? No, not necessarily, it's not haram. The point was that we have to teach our kids that you can use a TV for the right purpose, you can use a TV for the wrong purpose. Now, nowadays, they don't watch TV. Now their TV has become YouTube, okay? Everything has become YouTube. So what we need to do is, instead of keeping our kids in a bubble where we say no to everything, and that is one extreme, and there's one extreme that we give them everything, we give them all the abilities and so forth, we have to create a balance. And what that balance is, that we have to take them out of that bubble and give them the education. See, you cannot say forever, I'll keep them away from a phone. Eventually, there will come a time that you have to give them the phone. But what we need to do is, we teach our kids how to use the phone. Social media is not going anywhere, okay? Social media is not going anywhere. You know, you're gonna have your Facebook, you're still gonna have your Twitter, even though it has been taken over by Elon Musk, okay? But nonetheless, you know, you're gonna have your Instagram, you're gonna have your TikToks, you're gonna have all these kind of things. You cannot take these away from your kids' lives. They will have access to it in one shape or form. The rule is, we have to teach our kids how to be disciplined. We have to teach our kids how to use them correctly. There is something called a fiqh of social media. How to use social media, and what capacity you should use social media. When should you use social media? When you should avoid from social media? This is something that we have to do. And part of that bubble also is that sometimes we are so strict on our kids that eventually that bubble will pop. That bubble will burst. I have seen so many youth, they were raised in very strict families. And subhanAllah, the day they had freedom, or they had, as they call it, azadi, okay? When they were going to schools, now they had no parental supervision and so forth. There was so much of a buildup inside of so many years that then they felt like, you know what? For all these years, I saw my friends, I saw things online I could not do because of my parents. Now today I will do them. And they go so far and beyond that then they leave eventually Islam. So when it comes to our kids, we cannot raise them in a bubble. We have to grow them. We have to help them grow up in a way that they understand what discipline is. So this is the very first thing. The second thing that we have to teach our kids is resiliency. See, one thing our kids is that what they have today is they don't have the ability to work hard and to spend time and invest time and energy. You know, especially subhanAllah, I tell you honestly, if you go on social media right now, there's all these videos on TikTok and Instagram and so forth, of how to become rich overnight. You buy this, you buy that, you buy this, buy that, go to this store, do this, go to that store and do that. So what our kids are growing up with, the mentality is, let me try to make a quick buck overnight, let me try to become rich overnight, and it does not work like that. Once again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such an amazing example for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the age of, he got married at 25. Okay, to Khadija radiallahu anha. Before 25, he was already a shepherd, which taught him so many lessons of life. But then after that, he became an international businessman, even before the age of 25. He was traveling internationally for Khadija radiallahu anha and maintaining her business. The point is that we, and what this basically is, even, you know, when you say the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, when he was a shepherd, that teaches you resiliency. That teaches you commitment. That teaches you responsibility. It teaches you discipline. It teaches you patience. It teaches you bravery. There's so many things that you learn as a shepherd. Why did all the Anbiya go through this process? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to learn this. And the most important thing is resiliency. How many kids today, they don't like a small job? I quit. 3 days, they'll quit. 2 weeks, they'll quit. A week, they will quit. Why? Because one thing that our kids don't have, which many parents, alhamdulillah, they had was, when they came into this country is, you know, no matter what, we will put in the hard work. Hard work is, you know, it is required. You know, we say this in Urdu, I say this, mehnat darkar hai. You know, we've heard this before. You have to give hard work. So one thing that we have to teach our kids is resiliency. You don't like something, get through it. Learn how to get through it. Learn how to manage it. Now, if it becomes extremely, you know, problematic, then yes, you take a step back, but we have to teach our kids resiliency and learning, you know, teach them how to stick through the difficult times. The third thing that's very important is, and this is especially for those parents who send their kids to Islamic schools, the Islamic school's responsibility is not to give tarbiyah to your child. It is your job at home to give them tarbiyah. We pay money to Islamic schools, no doubt. because we have to pay for the teachers and we have to take care of the infrastructure of the school and so forth. But you cannot expect that the school will do your job. That's not the school's job. The school's job is to do, to fill up the gaps that may have been left behind after the tarbiyah at home. This is what the school's responsibility is. The school does teach, the school does educate, but the first place where a child learns is where? Is at home. We have to create a very healthy tarbiyah place and environment at home, and we cannot. I've heard so many parents say, oh, this is Islamic school and that is Islamic school, and I've seen parents, they really, there's no tarbiyah in the family, and they think that I'll send them to Islamic school, or I'll send them to this convention, or I'll send them to this Islamic program, and automatically, like, you know, abracadabra, you know, we'll just do something and they'll become fixed overnight. It does not work like that. It starts from the home. The tarbiyah is provided from the home. Then later on, you want to send them to a good environment, an environment where they teach Quran and Sunnah and Quran and Qala Allah and Qala Rasul, no problem. But once again, the place where it all starts from is home. And that means that it takes the mother and the father. It's not only the mother's job, brothers. It's not only the mother's job. Often in families, we see that the father says, as long as I provide an income and I provide food on the table and I provide a roof over your head, that's only my job. That's not only your job. Part of your job is to provide tarbiyah to your child. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatihi. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as fathers, we have to change our mindset, and we have to understand that the place where the tarbiyah will be provided primarily, once again, is going to be at home. And finally, the last thing is, you know, our kids, mashallah, are very smart. Our kids are very smart. And what happens is that when they see things around, they will ask you questions. See, the rule is, we teach our kids that who you follow is not people. Who you follow is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because you know how many times our kids will come to us and say, oh, I found out about this brother who comes to the masjid, he does such and such. Or this sister who comes to the masjid, they do such and such. Or my friend and his father and his parents, they're considered very religious and they do such and such. And what it does is that it creates doubts inside their heart. What we need to teach our children is Islam, first of all, is a beautiful religion. Okay? And even when you see, when our kids see that there are other people who commit crimes in the name of Islam, they always ask this question that how can they do this when they are Muslims? And this is what we have to teach our children. Islam is a beautiful religion. At the same time, there's going to be people who are going to do things wrong in the name of Islam to justify their actions. And this is not Islamic at all. And number two is that we do not follow people. We cannot live our life saying, I'm going to live like this person. We live our life following none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because subhanAllah, today in a world where there are people who are put off with religion, they keep on saying this. They keep on saying this. You know, that, you know, these religious people. And my answer to all these kind of people who make these kind of objections when they say, oh, these religious people, these mullahs, and, you know, they say these kind of things. My answer to them always is, who told you to begin with? Who told you to follow this particular man? This man is reminding you, this sister is reminding you of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the reality is, as human beings, we'll make mistakes. We have fallacies. But on the other hand, the best example is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are people who will follow some, and then they find out something wrong about them, and they're put off by Islam. And they're like, you know what? If this person is a representation of Islam, then I want nothing to do with Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never taught us to follow this man or this woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are a teacher, an ustad, or muallim, or imam, whoever it is, what we have been told to follow is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we teach our kids this, that you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are a few things, inshallah. Number one, once again, was we don't keep our kids in a bubble. Number two was teach them resiliency. Number three was that this home is the primary place of tarbiyah. And number four is we always teach our kids to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects our upcoming generations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them in the fold of deen, following the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen rabbil alameen. Rizakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا.